welcome once again to our Sunday morning shiur. The topic of today's shiur is something which is very broad and cannot really be covered in one session. But I would just like to cover some of the basic concepts of the din of yichud, and just to cover some of the rules that people are familiar with and maybe one or two that we're not so familiar with. The pasuk tells us the connection to parashas Achrimos is that we have in the end of Achrimos we have the section which deals with the arayos, which deals with the forbidden relationships, and the Torah begins that discussion with the pasuk that says Ish ish al kol she'er b'soro will sikrivu l'galos erva ani Hashem. That every person, every man should not come close to she'er b'soro, to his relatives, l'galos erva, for the purpose of some sort of intimate relationship. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. This pasuk teaches us several things, but the basic concept of this pasuk is that not only is there a prohibition of an intimate relationship with one of the forbidden people, but the Torah says lo sikruvu, that you should not come close to them, which means, as the Chazal say, that even things which bring a person close are also forbidden. And based on this pasuk, we have in the Chazal, in the Avos Rav Nosson, actually, it's mentioned that this is one reference to the idea of not coming close through yichud, through people being secluded, through a man and a woman who is not allowed to be with being secluded. That would be one of the intentions of this pasuk. However, the pasuk that is more direct in dealing with this is the pasuk that we find in Devarim. This is on the sheet as well. And the pasuk it's difficult to see how you see it from this pasuk, but nevertheless, the pasuk says, "Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha obincha obitcha." The pasuk here is not speaking about anything to do with relationships with people, but rather the pasuk here is talking about the din of a mesis. The pasuk is talking about a person who entices someone else to go worship Avodah Zarah. But in the course of saying this din, the Torah says, "Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha." If your brother, the son of your mother, will entice you. So the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin on that pay on the days, which we have on the sheet, is the second side of the first sheet. If you look at the Gemara here, from where the Gemara begins, in other words, after the Mishnah, if you go down two lines, the Gemara says, "No ani ili," says the Gemara, how do we know the Mishnah here delineates all kinds of prohibitions of yichud, where men and women cannot be secluded? And the Gemara asks the question, "No ani ili," how do we know that there is such an idea that a man cannot be secluded with a woman who is forbidden to him? So the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Remez liyichud min haTorah minayin? Where is the remez from the Torah for yichud?" Now, notice the word remez here, which we'll speak about in a minute. Where is the remez for this? Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk that we just quoted, "Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha." If your brother, the son of your mother, will entice you and will come say, "Let us go worship foreign gods." That's the pasuk that we have. The pasuk ends that he will say, "Nelcha ben avda olim acherim asher lo yadata," let us go worship foreign gods. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk and asks the following. The Gemara asks, "V'chi ben ein mesis ben av eino mesis?" What is the pasuk suggesting here? That only the son of your mother can lead you astray and not the son of your father? In other words, your brother on your mother's side can do this to you and not your brother on your father's side. Says the Gemara, "Ela lomar l'cha," but rather what the pasuk is trying to tell you is that ben misyached im imo. That the pasuk is coming to tell you two things. Number one, that a son is allowed to be secluded with his mother, and the osur lehisyachedim kol arayas shebetorah, and that it is forbidden to be secluded with any of the women who are prohibited to us by the Torah. This is what the Gemara says. Now, how you see that from this pasuk is a great mystery. Very great mystery, and if one looks in the Torah Tamima, the parish of the Torah Tamima on the drushes of the Chazal usually tries to explain how the Chazal saw what they came out with. And here he seems to be baffled how you see it from this pasuk, but nevertheless, this is what the Gemara tells us, that this pasuk is a remez, the Gemara calls it, a remez to Yichud min HaTorah. Remez to Yichud min HaTorah, which means that what we're saying is two halachas. Number one is that a person is allowed to be secluded with his mother, despite the fact that his mother is also one of the forbidden women to him. And on the other hand, the person is not allowed to be secluded with any of the other arayas in the Torah. This is what the Gemara says. Now, the word remez gives rise to some discussion. The Rambam is of the opinion. The Rambam says explicitly that this is only a remez, meaning it's not really a din d'oraisa. This is not, even though we're deriving this from a pasuk in the Chumash, but nevertheless, it does not have the full status of a din HaTorah, which we will see later can make a difference. However, others say that no, the Gemara means it, that this is the prohibition of Yichud, that it is in fact Doraisa. And to this end, we have, if you look at the sheet that was given out separately from the separate cover, the sheet of the Rambam, I hope everyone's got one of those. But if you look at the Rambam here in Perek Chof Beis of the Hilchos Yisurei Diyah, Halacha Aleph, so the Rambam tells us, in fact, that Osur Lizyachet in Erva, that is prohibited for a man to be secluded with any of the forbidden women, min ha'arayos, in Erva min ha'arayos, any one of the forbidden women. And the Rambam goes further and says something which people don't always take into consideration. He says, Bain Zakena, Bain Yalva. He says that this din, that this law is true, whether or not the woman is young or even if she's old, meaning that the prohibition of yichud does not have to do with the attractiveness of the person. Even if the woman is an elderly woman, nevertheless, there would still be an iser, there would still be a question of yichud. What is the reason? Says the Rambam, Shedover zeh gorem legalos erfa. The Rambam says that the reason for the prohibition in the Torah, why does the Torah come and say such a thing? The reason for this is because this type of thing leads to acts of immorality. If the women for whom a sexual relationship is prohibited by the Torah, so if one were to be secluded with them, so even though maybe the intention that how they became secluded was not necessarily malicious, it wasn't that it was done with an agenda, but rather it just happened to be that way. Nevertheless, that state of being secluded can lead a person to be tempted, and it can cause to lead to a forbidden relationship. And the Rambam says, however, based on the Gemara that we just learned, the Rambam says that there are exceptions to this. And the exceptions are chutz meho'enin dinah. The exception would be what the Gemara just said, that from a mother with her son, the ha'av and vito, the poskim say this, also generalizing it out, that not only a mother with her son, but also a father with his daughter, and the Shulchan Aruch says not only a parent, but even a grandparent, a grandfather with his granddaughter, a grandmother with a grandson. There is no prohibition of yichud in these cases. And the other, even though these are situations which are also prohibited by the Torah, nevertheless, here the based on certain things, based on the pasuk, the halacha is that there is no prohibition of yichud. And the other prohibited relationship, which is not a problem of yichud, is v'habal and ishtonida. a married man with his wife who was a nida, so even though at that time there is a they are prohibited from having any intimate relations, nevertheless, the fact is that this is also an exception to the case. This is based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that we may be familiar with, Suga Vashoshanim. So therefore we have this idea that these are the cases where Yichud is permitted outright. In other words, in any of these cases there is no question. This is what the Rambam tells us. But what you see from this Rambam is that the Rambam tells us clearly that the prohibition of Yichud is because of the fact that the Torah prohibited it because of what it could lead to. And at the same time, the Rambam tells us that the din in the Torah does not discriminate, meaning that it doesn't matter who the person is or what the appearance of the person may be, it makes no difference. In other words, bein zekena bein yalda, whether it's an older person or a younger person, there is no concept, there is no difference. So whereas, you know, the seichel of a person might suggest otherwise, the person might say, well, in this situation, if it's you know, here it would really be a temptation, but you know, a person is older, you know, so what's going to be, you know, what could possibly be the question? Nevertheless, this is what we find over here in the Rambam. So these are the exceptions. There happens to be that these dinim that we just said are the laws that the Gemara, this is a derivation of the Gemara from the Pasuk, and as I said, the Rambam himself later on says that he holds these to be Nidivrei Kabbalah, that it is considered not fully a law of Doraisa. However, other posts can say that this is Doraisa. Now, this being the case, it would come out, one would say that the prohibition of Yichud would only be with women who are prohibited by the Torah, so therefore that would apply to any of the relatives that are listed in yesterday's parsha, plus an Eishes Ish, a woman who is married to somebody else. What about a girl who is unmarried? So here, of course, one could say that a girl who is unmarried would be prohibited anyway because she would fall under the category of a nida. A girl who is unmarried is not immersed in a mikvah, and therefore she if she reached the age that she got a period, so she would already be in the status of a nida, and therefore would be prohibited for that reason. However, even without that, we find, if you go down to Halacha Gimel in the Rambam tells us that historically, the law of Yichud got added to, got embellished. And that is, the Rambam says, Kesheira Maisa Amnon V'Tamar, that we know in the Sefer Shmuel Beis, so there's the tragic incident where two of David HaMelech's children, they were half brother and sister, Amnon and Tamar. Actually, she wasn't really his sister for certain technical reasons, but the fact, nevertheless, these were children of David HaMelech, and we know from the story in Shmuel Beis that Amnon was very, very interested in her and eventually assaulted her and violated her, and she was unmarried at the time, but it says that David was very distressed about this and she was disgraced. So it says in the Chazal tell us, the Rambam brings it here, that when that incident took place, Gozar David Ubeis Dino al Yichud Pnuyah. So David HaMelech and his Beis Din made a decree that you can note that even though the Torah only blocks Yichud with women who fit into the category of the Arayos, who we mentioned in the parsha yesterday, nevertheless, they expanded it and said that even a Pnuyah, even an unmarried girl, would fit into who was not on the list, and let's even say would be younger than the point that she would be a Nida. Nevertheless, there too, the Zera of David HaMelech and his Beis Din extended to those people. Says the Rambam, even though they're not considered included in the Arayos. Okay? So thus the prohibition of Yichud was expanded. But one will say that, if you consider who we've mentioned so far, you'll say, what about a guy? What about a woman who isn't Jewish? So you know, that doesn't fit into any of the categories that we just said. So says the Rambam further, Vishamai Vihilel Gozru Al Yichud Goy, that then it got embellished even to another degree. That Shammai and Hillel embellished it, they extended it even to the Yichud of Goyim. So therefore the Torah prohibited the Yichud of the Arayos. David and his Beis Din expanded it to the Yichud of an unmarried woman. And Shammai and Hillel extended it to a situation of the Yichud with Goyim. This is what the Rambam tells us, and he says, therefore, call Nimsa, that it comes out that there's a prohibition of Yichud with any woman, whether she's Jewish or not Jewish, makes no difference. This is what the Rambam says. Okay, so this is the basic prohibition of Yichud. Now, there are a lot of technical factors that have to be taken into consideration, and it cannot all be considered in one sitting. But for now, some of the questions that have to be discussed is what constitutes yichud, what happens if you have multiple people. But for now, let's just say we'll deal with one-on-one situations. Okay, that would be certainly a question of yichud. It could be yichud even one man with two women. It could very well be yichud two men and one woman. But the fact is that for now, let's keep it simple and say we're dealing with a one-on-one situation. So this is the basic issue of yichud. And the question really comes about that in today's world, we have a lot of challenges in this area because of the fact that women are much more involved in the workplace than used to be, certainly in the times of the Gemara, and therefore the potential for these things is greater. Also, we have on the flip side of the coin, sometimes you have a woman who does not go to work, but we have men coming into the home sometimes. You have a repairman comes to the house and the woman is home alone, and the question is, what would be the situation with that? So these are some of the questions, some of the challenges that come up today. So what I would like to just briefly consider are what are the heterim that we have. Obviously, we can't stop here because then a lot of things would be prohibited. So we know there are certain basic heterim, certain principles that people rely on with the issur of yichud, and I would just like to go through two of them to see exactly where, how they play out. So we have as follows. If you refer to the Gemara, the Gemara now, we go to the Gemara on the Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, this is on the second sheet, 1. Okay, if you go about eight lines before the lines get wide, about a third of the way down the page, the Gemara says, a very well-known heter, says the Gemara, Omar Rabba said, Bawa b'ir ein choshishin mishum yichud. Rabba says that if the woman's husband is in the city, then there is no issue of yichud. If the woman's husband is in the city, there is no problem. Meaning that even though the woman and the men are in fact secluded, and her husband is not present, not in the house, but he's somewhere else. Nevertheless, if he's in the city, says Rabba, there would be no concern of yichud. Now, this is obviously a great opening as far as dealing with the prohibition of yichud in practical terms. So the question is, why is this so? So here there is a machlokas in the Rishonim, which is a slightly, it doesn't seem like a big deal when you read it, but it turns out to be a very big deal. Rashi here on the Gemara, Rashi here, if you look at the Rashi, Bawa Be'ir in Koshim Shem Yichud, it's actually higher up in the column of Rashi than the Gemara is. So Bawa Be'ir in Koshim Lamishem Yichud. Now, the question is, first of all, there's a debate in the Rishonim, what does this mean altogether? Because the Gemara had said previously that in the times of the Gemara they would give Malkus if a person was guilty of Yichud. So it says, Bala Be'ir in Koshal Amisham Yichud. So Rashi learns, unlike what we would like to believe, Rashi says that the Gemara here is not really giving a heter to Yichud per se, but the Gemara is just saying that if the Yichud took place, the woman would not be given Malkus. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos on this page, and many, many Rishonim disagree, and they were in pshat that Baal Be'ir and Choshem Mishum Yichud means that there is no prohibition of Yichud at all. And this is what we hold. But anyway, but if we just look at Rashi for a minute, Rashi says, Baal Be'ir and Choshem Mishum Yichud Lahalkos, right, that we do not give the Malkus. Now why not? Says Rashi, the Mistafimi Baal, because the woman is worried about her husband. She's afraid of her husband. What is she afraid of? Says Rashi, Hashta Asi. Hashta Asi means he's going to come now. Meaning that the reason why there's no concern of Yichud is because since the whole issue of Yichud, as the Rambam told us, is because of what it could lead to. In other words, the prohibition of Yichud is because it would lead to an intimate relationship. So says Rashi that if the husband is in town, so then the wife knows I can't get involved here. Even if it wasn't with malice. In other words, again, the prohibition of Yichud has nothing to do with evil intentions. The prohibition of Yichud is because of the fact that the nature of a human being is that a person's passions can be aroused in different situations, and a person can lose themselves. So it has nothing to do with it that there was an agenda, that there was sinister intentions to begin with. Nevertheless, you have the issue of Yichud, says Rashi, but if the woman knows that at any moment my husband could walk in, so then that would stop even a person from losing themselves. In other words, even though the whole fear is that someone will do something irrational, that somebody will do something that they, we're not, the din of Yichud is not concerning itself with Rishon, it's not concerning itself with people who are looking for trouble, it's concerning itself with good people, with people who have good intentions, but nevertheless it could happen. So says Rashi, but even in such a scenario, if she's afraid that at any moment my husband could walk in, then this will hold her back, and therefore there is no issue of Yichud. This is Rashi's pshat in the Gemara. Now, if you look at the Rambam on the second side, the Rambam in this would be the Rambam in just a minute, where's my Rambam? Yeah, the Rambam says towards the end of the 22nd parak, the Rambam says in Halacha Yud Beis, Eishes Ish Shehaya Baila Be'ir, a married woman whose husband is in the city, Eina Choshesh LeYichud. She does not have to be concerned. There is no concern about Yichud. Why? Says the Rambam, Mipnei She'emas Bawa Aleha. Because the fear, if you want to say, or the reverence of her husband is upon her. Now the Mefarshim and the Rambam point out, if you read this quickly, you'll say, well, that's the same thing. That's what Rashi was saying. But if the Mefarshim and the Rambam pretty much all say that he doesn't mean that. That the Rambam is not saying because he may walk in at any minute. But rather because since he's around, so if he's around, there's more of a sense of, you know, how could he's nearby, whatever. I'm not worried he's going to come in right now. But he's around. If he'd be, you know, out of town, so then, you know, maybe there's a like we say, out of sight, out of mind. You know, I'm just sort of not thinking about him. But when he's around, so I'm still emotionally connected to him. And therefore, for that reason, there is no problem of Yichud if it's by with the ear. So therefore, you have two interpretations in the Rishonim, and we'll see that these two interpretations can make a very big difference. Okay, so Rashi, according to Rashi, the din of Baal Be'ir applies because of the fact that she's worried that he's going to walk in. Whereas according to the Rambam, the issue is because since he's around, so therefore he's more on her mind, and therefore the emotional attachment is something that would stand in her way more. Now obviously, without going much further, if I were to say, so what is the difference going to be between these two pshat, and what difference does it make whether you say like Rashi or whether you say like the Rambam? So the simplest explanation would be, the simplest difference one could come up with would be, what happens if the husband is in town, but she knows he's not coming home? Right? She knows he's not coming home. Now, for example, let's say he's in town, but he's on the other side of town. So even if he gets in the car right now and comes home, it's going to take him a half hour to get home. you're going to have to get on the highways, there's going to be traffic, whatever it is, different things, it's going to be delayed. Or, potentially, let's say he's in a job that he can't leave. He can't leave his job, he can't come home now. His boss will fire him. And he's not allowed to leave the job. He has a commitment, he has a work obligation, he has to be at a certain place at a certain time, he can't come home. So theoretically, if you said, like Rashi, the heter would not apply, because what does it help? The whole idea is that he may walk in at any moment, but he's not, I know he's not walking in. He's not coming home. He is where he is. Right? On the other hand, if you say, like the Rambam, so it has nothing to do with the fear of being caught, but rather it has to do with the fact that I know he's around, and therefore I feel more of a connection to him, so that would apply, theoretically, even if he is in town but cannot get home. Okay, that would be one difference. A second difference would be, which would come up between these two interpretations, would be what happens if the husband is in town but the wife is not in her house. In other words, let's say he can't find her. He doesn't know where she is. So, you know, if she's in her house, so theoretically he'll say, well, he knows he can come home at any minute, and you know, he has the keys to the house, he'll walk in at any time, and then she'll get caught. But let's say she's not home. If she's not home, so then he doesn't know where to find her. So what does it help that he's in the city, but he doesn't know where she is? Whereas again, according to the Rambam, you would have the heter of the fact that there is this emotional connection. So that would be a second difference between Rashi and the Rambam. And a third one, which is certainly relevant to all of us, would be, does this heter work in the reverse? Do we say to a man that you, until now we've been focusing on the woman, that the woman does not have the Isra of Yichud because her husband is in town? Well, what about the reverse? What about, does a man have an issue of Yichud if her husband, if his wife is in town? In other words, he's going to be the one who's secluded. He's going to be secluded with some woman. But he said, well, my wife is in town. So again, if you said like Rashi, so Rashi says that the issue is I'm going to get caught, so you can get caught both ways. You can get caught so the wife can catch the husband too. So it seems reasonable that the heter that Rashi says would apply to the man also, that if it's Ishto Be'er, if his wife is in the city, there would be no Isra of Yichud. Whereas, according to the Rambam, who says, Eimaz Vailo Aleha, that the fear of the awe, it's hard, the word Eimaz, a difficult word to translate, but the reverence of her husband is upon her, that the poskim say that doesn't go in the reverse. That does not go into reverse. And therefore, according to the Rambam, you would not have this heter. So these are three situations that have to be considered in terms of dealing with the heter of Baal Be'er. And I will tell you that, you know, when it comes to these different situations, so there are the poskim, the modern day poskim, one thing which is very difficult about the laws of Yichud is that the modern day poskim, pretty much the spectrum of opinions that's out there is so vast that pretty much anyone, you could find a head, this one will say it's mutter, and this one will say that's usher, and the other one will say this is mutter, and the first one will say that's usher. So it's very difficult to come to grips with it, and really, what a lot of people feel is that you have to have some sort of consensus. Like, in generally speaking, you know, people would only be comfortable if there was consensus on it. So, therefore, when it comes to the issue of the husband not knowing where she is, which is the when it comes to the first issue, where the same city, but he can't get there, he can't leave his job, there's a big machlokas about that, very big shot, very big machlokas, and so too in the case where the husband doesn't know where she is. And when it comes to the third one, does the heter apply to men? So here, if you look in the poskim, it's very, very, those that say that the heter applies to a man, there's very few. The majority seem to say that the heter would not apply for a man. It's difficult to say what the psak is in all of these situations. You know, a person really would have to consult with their rug in these things. But what I will tell you is that one difference that is made in these situations, that people take into consideration whether the yichud is the raisa or the rabbanah. which means that in the case people feel that, like we said at the beginning, if Yichud was a bona fide erva, a Jewish woman, let's say an Eshetish or some other situation like that, so there, in a suffix, there would be more of a reason to be machner. Whereas the Yichud, let's say with a Goy, so even though that's Asur too, but that's Yichud the Rabbanan, the Rambam told us that it's more than the Rabbanan, that's the Rabbanan, that's Hillel and Shammai, that's Yichud the Rabbanan. So there could be situations where a person would be more lenient. In other words, the whoever's making the call on these Shilas, it's not necessarily going to be consistent in every situation. If a person were asking a shaila, you know, you speak to poskim and they will tell you that, you know, a lot has to do with you have to ask the shaila correctly. And sometimes people omit details from the question and those details can make a big difference. And this is an example, because if the question of Yichud is with a Jewish woman who's an Erva, then it's a Shaila of Yichud Daraisa. Whereas if it's a Shaila with a non-Jewish woman, then it's a Yichud Darabanan. Not that we just blow up what the Rabbanan said, but there, if it's a Shasat Chak, and there's who to rely on, there's more flexibility in terms of being Makel. There's more opportunities to be Makel. Whereas we did with an Issa D'Oraisa, generally we have to be a little more concerned. However, this heter of Philo Be'ir is very often misapplied. And the reason for that is, based on, if we look back at the Gemara on Daf Pei Aleph in Kiddushin, there is another halacha which is not so well known, which is a heter killer, unfortunately, in this din of Philo Be'ir. And that is as follows. I'm going to try to finish on time because I still think the air conditioning is not working, so I try to end this quickly. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. If you go down on that Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, from where the Gemara says, from the part that we just read, the two lines past that, which is about five lines before they get Y, the Gemara says the following remarkable story. The Gemara says, Rabidi Ikwa Lebe Rav Yosef. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi, one of the Amoraim in the Gemara, happened to be staying over in the house of Rabbi Yosef. And it happened to be that in the times of the Gemara, that people commonly had two-story houses, but the second story was really just like a loft. It was just like there was not a staircase to get up to that higher floor, but rather there was a ladder that they would climb up to sort of get into that. They had an additional private space on top. So Reb Bibi came to stay in Reb Yosef's house. So it was Reb Yosef and his wife and Reb Bibi. So the Gemara says, Vasar the Karach Rifta. So they sat down to eat. And after they finished eating supper, Amar Luhu. So Reb Yosef said to whoever was his attendant in the house, he said, Shekule Darga Mituse Bibi. He said that take away the ladder. In other words, Rabibi was given the upstairs room, and once he ascended to the higher floor, and apparently Rabbi Yosef was going to go out of the house, so it was just going to be Rabibi and his wife. So Rabbi Yosef instructed that the ladder be removed. Take away the ladder. Don't leave the ladder in the position that he could just come down anytime he wants. Because this way there will not be any issue. Otherwise, there would be a concern of Yichud. So, first of all, just you see here in the Gemara that the law of Yichud applies to everybody. It has nothing to do with, you know, you say, well, this person is a tzaddik. It didn't make a difference here, right? You see, you know, one would learn through the whole sugi, you see over and over that doesn't go into the consideration, that the fear of a person on the spur of the moment being enticed or aroused to do something irrational exists by every person. So Rabbi Yosef said, take away the ladder, he shouldn't be able to come down. So the Gemara asked the question, and the obvious question is, ask the Gemara, V'ha'amar Rabbah, Bailu Be'ir, Ein Koshin Yishum Yichud. Says the Gemara, but why was that necessary? Rabbi Yosef wasn't going out of town. Rabbi Yochanan, maybe he was going out of the house, but he's not going. They didn't have in those days the means to get away, and he wasn't planning. The story was he wasn't going very far. Maybe he was going out to the Beis Medrash. So his bai will be here. So what is he worried about? What would be the problem? There's no Isra of Yichud. What's he worried? That his wife, I'm refusing, but his wife has the heter of my husband is in town. So what's the problem? Says the Gemara, Teretz, which has great ramifications. Says the Gemara, Shani Rabivi, this situation was different. The Shushvinte Havoy, the Geisa Bey. Says the Gemara, because Rabivi was a friend of Rabbi Yosef, and being that he was a friend of Rabbi Yosef, apparently, it doesn't say exactly, but probably he would come into his house. Right? Rashi says that not only was he friends with Rabivi, was Rabivi friends with Rabbi Yosef, but he apparently got to know, he knew Rabbi Yosef's wife also. So he knew Rabbi Yosef's wife also, says the Gemara of a Geisabeh. Geisabeh, it's hard to know exactly how to translate that word, but the fact is, what it means is that he was comfortable, the way we would loosely translate it, is that he was comfortable with her. Meaning she wasn't a stranger to him. It wasn't a woman who he didn't have a connection to. To the contrary, this is a woman who he knew. So because he knew her, therefore he was comfortable with her. Says the Gemara that if he's comfortable with her, then the heter of Bailah Be'er does not apply. Then the heter of Bailah Be'er does not apply, and this is something which creates a very great problem for us. That if it would be a stranger, so then the husband's in town, no problem. But if these people already have Geisabeh, Gaspa, the way it's said over in the postgame, Libo Gaspa, that he is in his heart, he's comfortable with her, he knows her, then the din is different. What is considered Libo Gaspa? So the postgame says, the Aruch HaShulchan says, not on the sheet, the Aruch HaShulchan says very clearly that the situation of gaspa means the way he says over the halacha is kagon shen is gablu biyachad. He says one situation would be if they grew up together, they're friends, they grew up together. Oh, shehi krovasa, or she's somehow related to him. She may be, you know, his cousin or something like that. Oh, sheyesh lahem eza hakora al yidei in yone mischar. Or, says our HaShulchan, that it could be that they got to know each other through a business relationship. That because they work together, so therefore that also means that they work together with this person, so therefore we are comfortable. We are comfortable with each other. We talk and we know each other, and therefore there's a greater degree of comfort. Says the Gemara, and this is brought in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that the heter of Bailah Be'er does not apply in such a situation. It does not apply. And this can be found if you look at the sheet on the final page, the in the Shulchan Aruch. So we have the Shulchan Aruch says in Eben Ezra Siman Chaf Beis Tzitzes, it says that Isha Shabailah Be'er in Kol Shishanimah. He says, the Shulchan Aruch says that if the husband is in the city, that you don't have to worry about it. Mitnesha Amos Bailo Alev. Shulchan Aruch, the Yosef Karo, was a very loyal follower of the Rambam, and here he brings the Rambam's opinion that the reason is because of, not because she didn't get caught, but because Amos Bailo. However, he says, the Im, it continues on to the next section, the Im Hayazed Gaspa. However, if they were comfortable, because on Shegodlimo, they grew up together, or she Kruvoso, she's relative, or things like that, then, or the husband told her to stay away from this guy, Lo Yisyaka Imo Apo Pishabai will be it. He says, then you can't do it. So this presents a particular problem that it would not, you know, there's not always an easy solution for. In other words, which means as follows, if a woman is home and a repairman comes to the house, so then you could say, well, the guy has to come and fix the sink or whatever, and so you say, well, the husband is not home. The husband is not home. But the fact is, assuming she doesn't know who this guy is, he's you know, fixing the appliances, whatever, some work needed to be done inside the house, and she doesn't know who he is, So then we could say that we have the heter of Weibo Gaspa, of Baal Be'er. Then we have the heter that since the husband is in town, so it's not a problem because of the fact that here the heter would apply. Again, you would have to consider if it's the type of situation where the husband could possibly come home. Because as I say, there's a machlokas on that point also, and even though the Shulchan Aruch seems to side with the Rambam, but there is a difference of opinion on this. But clearly, if the husband is in a job where he could get away, let's say he's self-employed, right, where he can make his own hours, and he could theoretically come home, that's the best situation. The best situation is where he's not that far away, right? Some want to say, or Moshe Feinstein wanted to say that in a very big city, it might not be such a simple thing. Like in Manhattan, you know, he's the one side of Manhattan, it could take 2 hours to get to back to where he needs to get. But let's say, here I would assume, here by us, where the traffic moves quicker and it's much easier to get around. So, you know, if the husband was in, had the ability to get home, and so therefore she would have the highest level of the heter of Baal Be'er, because he may come at any moment, and this guy is not Libo Gaspa. This is not a, I don't know who this person is, I never saw him before. So therefore that would be alright. However, if you have a situation where I know the person, so then it may not be so simple, because the heter, the simple heter, the friend, you know, sometimes people call, well, this is my friend, so I'm going to call him to do the job. Well, if he's my friend, it could be, if he's your friend, it could be that he's your wife's friend also. And if he's your wife's friend, then the heter of Baal Be'er does not apply. And this is a very devastating little piece of Gemara that we have, the ramifications of this heter, and certainly would work the other way also, that, you know, assuming one were to say that the heter of Baal Be'er applies by Ishto Be'er also, that for a man it would be all right if his wife is in town, but again, if it's Libo Gaspa, the situation would be different. So therefore, and at work also, you could have this situation, because to be totally secluded with a woman who you work with, if you don't know who she is, just happens to be, you know, someone who's working there too, but I have, you know, it's a big place and I don't know who she is, I have no dealings with her. So then, potentially, you know, there could be the heter of Ishto Be'er, potentially. I'm not saying, you know, this is one would have to ask, there's a whole range of opinions, but potentially there could be such a heter. However, but if it's a person who I know, and because we work together, so we're friendly, especially, you know, today, very common people, we live in a very friendly society, so therefore everyone tries to, you know, to get to know each other, then potentially that could be a challenge. That could be a very big challenge because of this little piece of Gemara. So the heter of Baal Be'er, which everybody knows, is greatly, impacted by the din of Libo Gaspa. Okay, I just want to touch on, just take 2 minutes to touch on, the other widely known heter for Yichud. And again, there are a lot of ins and outs, and it's impossible to cover all of it, and there are a lot of different opinions, and I'm talking in a simple case of one man and one woman. If there are multiple people, the din could change, and therefore, you know, you have to know every situation is different. You know, when is it not yichud at all? If there's a group of people, there's no problem. What constitutes being secluded is a question. So, but just in the broad sense, there is another heter which we find, which again is here on the Gemara and Daf Pe'alf, and that is, I actually skipped it when I read the Gemara Baal Be'er and then skipped to the story of Avivi. There is another heter in between, which could be valuable. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Pesach Pasuach Rishus HaRabim, Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. The Gemara says that another heter for Yichud would be if there is a door that is open to the Rishus HaRabim. Meaning, if the door is open, and presumably a person could just come walking in. So if a person could just come and walk in, then the halacha would be that Pesach Pesuach Rishus HaRabim, there is no problem of Yichud. So therefore, in the simplest case, if the door is open, if you have the front door of your home open and you live on the street, not that you live in a secluded place, if you live recessed from the street, it could be it would not apply. but most people live, the house opens right up into the street. So if your door was open, that would be clearly a heter pesach pasuach v'shusharavim. Again, there are a whole slew of opinions. What happens if your door is only ajar, it's not completely open? What happens if your door is not open but it's unlocked? What happens if it's late at night and there are no people in the street? So there are a lot of ins and outs in this halacha too. But just in the broad sense, Pesach, Pesuch, Rosh Hashanah, Rabin, if the door is open to the street, there's no problem of Yichud. So this could be a very great heter. In fact, there are poskim that say that even if the door is not open, but if you have a window that the person can stand in the street and see into the room, there would also not be a problem with Yichud. Because it's the same thing. The idea being that I'm embarrassed, somebody will see me. So therefore, in a situation like that, there is no problem with Yichud. However, it happens to be that here too there is a dispute amongst the poskim whether this heter applies by a woman who is libo gaspa. In other words, here too there is the Gemara of Rabbi that says that in a situation where the woman is an acquaintance, where somebody I'm comfortable with, then the law doesn't apply. That could be a shaila here too. And therefore, if it's libo gaspa, even with the door being open, it may not be a heter. It may not be a heter. And again, here people will make a distinction between whether it's yichud d'oraisa or yichud d'rabbanan. And this is a key point, that if a person has a question of yichud, you have to identify a person who would be making a she'elah schacham, a person would ask a rav or a posek to know, what do I do in this situation? This has to always be taken into consideration. What level of yichud is it? Because there are so many different opinions in this area that you really have to identify what the shaila is. So this is another area which a person has to take into consideration. The bottom line is that you know, today, as I said at the beginning, with the fact that there is so much intermingling between men and women, the situations where this could arise are numerous, and therefore a person really has to know. And they could, obviously, there are a lot of challenges to this in the workplace. But one thing which I saw brought down, that in the you know, sometimes you get into a worst case scenario where a person has to stay after work, if it's a busy office and there are people going in and out, the generally accepted heter for situations of yichud is if there's a door, even if a man and a woman are secluded in a room, but somebody could just walk in at any time and unannounced. So then, or basically unannounced, you know, the American way of giving a knock while you're walking in the door, which is also unannounced, right? So in a situation like that, there also would be a heter, that also would be a heter of yichud. But what about a situation where everyone went home and it's just this man and this woman? So it's not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing in a situation like that. What people say, again, it's too complex to get into the exact halachas. There are many different issues that come up, but one thing, one etza that they tell people is that tell someone else who has the key, invite them to come in. You know, maybe you're leaving, but I invite you to come in, and you can come in, don't knock, don't do anything, just walk right in. If there is the possibility that somebody can walk in off the street, or so it doesn't have to be a stranger, it could be someone who works there, but he has a way to get in, even though he may be stepping out right now, but he may come back, so there's potential for a great potential for leniency in a situation like that. If that does not exist, and everybody went home and it's just the two people, it's not so easy to come up with a heter for a situation like that. So the fact is, these are just an overview of the laws of yichud, and you know, just to be aware that in our times, this is one of the great challenges in the culture that we live in. There are shaylos that are today more prominent. You know, years ago, people had the issues with kashrus, and you know, that was a big thing. Today, Baruch Hashem, kashrus has become a very small issue with all the hasherim and all the different things. But other things have come up. So you have, you know, we have people in the house, you have the non-Jewish women in the house, could be an issue of yichud, and it could be an issue also in a different area. We once spoke about Bishul Akum, you have with the fact that they're going to be doing the cooking. So today we have a new wave of shaylos. And one of the challenges, I always think about this, you know, people are used to the way everyone goes by the way I grew up. You know, I grew up a certain way and this is the way I'm going to lead my life, which there could be great value to that. But in the area of halacha, you have to realize that there were issues when we grew up that weren't such big issues, that today are issues. There are issues that were then issues that Baruch Hashem today are not issues. But the other way could also be. So therefore, a person just has to be aware to see to it when a situation like this comes up, to try to use some insight and possibly consult with the rabbinic authority to come up with a proper way to deal with it.